Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence in our midst. Thank you for what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the Son of Man that you choose to visit, but you choose to. For this we are grateful. As we enter your word now, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand. Lord God, we pray that, Lord God, you will come and anoint me afresh so that I will speak as I should as an oracle of God. And I pray that you put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of everyone that will hear me. Those who are here physically, those who will hear me remotely, electronically. So that the word will flow freely from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, causing our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We also pray that as we speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released in great measure to follow these words and back them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes. Yes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful in the delivery of the word, to do it indeed with precision, to redeem the time and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, indeed as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement, receiving every blessing mentioned in their individual life, agreed and said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank God for his mercies in upon us as we go into the word this afternoon. I have a very important prophetic message that the Lord has put into my heart, and it's very timely. It is called Bringing Peace to the Nations. At this time, the earth is living in the prophetic scriptures where the Bible says we're living in the end time, in the beginning of sorrows, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, earthquakes, famine, pestilences. In Luke chapter 21, verse 25, it actually describes it as the distress of nations. The nations, as I speak, I don't think there's any nation on earth that is in one type of distress or the other. Some are economic, some are political, some are social. There is great distress in the nations at the moment. And it looks like, almost as it were, the darkest hour in human history. The scripture describes it in Isaiah 60. Says, darkness, yea, gross darkness, shall cover the earth. We're living in that time. There is gross spiritual darkness. There is distress of nations. Some of the most hideous things that have ever been done in human history are being perpetrated almost on a daily basis. And at this, in the middle of all of this, God brings a word of hope, bringing peace to the nations. And it's for this reason that it is in this season, this time of great distress of the nations, this time of great gross darkness, that the manifestation of the sons of God will and must take place. It is this arising of the glory of God through the manifested sons of God that is going to bring peace to the nations. And I bring you a prophetic word of how this is going to take place and unfold in the next few years, starting from now and in the years that are ahead. It is vital the church has understanding concerning these things, because the scripture tells us that we should have understanding of the times and what Israel ought to do. I'd like you to turn with me in your Bible firstly to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24. This is the great stem of end time prophecy. We sent out a tweet and a text on this recently on the end time timetable. But I will just zero in on what is relevant to this particular prophetic message. And in, well, let's start from verse 1. And Jesus went out, I didn't hear you, and departed from the temple. And his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily, I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. This statement shocked the disciples because they were trying to show him how magnificent, how beautiful the temple was. And they were expecting some type of comment from him that would be in alignment with what they were saying about how great the temple was and the glory of God and all of that. But what he said was almost the direct opposite. And he said to them, this temple, you see it, is going to be destroyed. And so they now asked him further questions. Verse 3, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? This question gives us the three segments of understanding the end time. When shall these things be is talking about the destruction of Jerusalem, which he was speaking about when he said the temple will be destroyed. This came to pass in AD 70. Then there are two other sections, and the other sections are, what shall be the sign of thy coming? We are living in that one now. We are living in the time of the signs of the coming of the Lord. And then the last one is the end of the world. The end of the world is the close of the age, which refers to the what is known, and Jesus described, it was Jesus himself who described it like this, as the great tribulation. Jesus said there would have never been anything like it, and God had to shorten the days, otherwise all flesh would have been destroyed. And it is at the end of that Jesus will return, the age will close, this age will close, and the millennial reign will begin. Many, many accounts of prophecy that you find in Matthew 24, which I'm reading, you find it in Luke chapter 21, you find them in the book of Daniel, you will find them scattered in bits and pieces over what we call the prophets and the minor prophets, you know, Joel, Hosea, Zephaniah, Zechariah, Malachi, Habakkuk, you know, Nahum. You find little bits and pieces of these things Jesus has spoken about scattered all over the scripture. That is why you need a prophetic teacher like myself and others, you know, who are anointed and have revelation that can rightly divide and show you what applies to which particular stage. Many times people mix them up, you know, and that's one of the reasons that's causing the controversy in the church today. There's a great controversy in the church about the rapture. Some people believe that the church is going to be taken before the rapture. They call it pre-tribulation. There are those who believe the church is going to be taken at the middle of the rapture. And then there are those who believe that it's at the end of the rapture, at the end of the tribulation, that the church is going to be raptured. The truth about the matter is that there is truth in all of those things. It's just that the truth is, it's not the whole truth. You find that in the book of Revelation, the church is described as the man-child, the woman that is travailing in birth to give birth to her, to him, and the remnant of her seed. All of them are the church, because the woman there represents the church. The man child comes out of the church. She's born, he's born by the church. And then you have the woman herself, and then you have the remnant of her seed. And it is the man child that is caught up before the tribulation. the woman and the remnant of our seed are here during the tribulation according to the scriptures in Revelation 12. And they are protected to some degree, you know, and the Antichrist comes against them. Some of them are martyred and they are killed. And at the end of the tribulation, the remnant of the seed that are left are caught up. The Bible says when he comes through the skies, he will pick his elect from the four ends, winds of the earth. And so, you know, understanding is critical. Now, thank God we're living in the time of the signs of his coming. That's our own time slot now. That's the time we're living in. The destruction of Jerusalem has already taken place. We're now in the time of the signs of his coming, and then the last slot is the end of the world. We've not reached that one yet. Now, let's read on here, and in verse 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed. Turn to your neighbor and say, if Jesus says take heed, it means take heed. That no man deceive you. If we could not be deceived, he would not tell us to take heed. That is why this type of teaching and prophetic message you're hearing is critical. If he could not be deceived, he would not be telling you. That is why God has asked me to prepare and deliver this message. It's not just for Scripture Pasture. This message is actually for the whole church. And thank God we're on YouTube, and it's being available to all the church. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. It's interesting, he didn't say they will deceive a few. He said many. And you shall hear, I didn't hear you, of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. In other words, you have to do something. There's something you need to do so you will not be troubled. Otherwise, ordinarily, you will be troubled. Of course, if you're hearing about wars and rumors of war, you say, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Don't your neighbor say, the end is not yet. Say, Jesus can't come back tomorrow. It's very important. See, some people are looking at what's happening in the world now, and they say, oh, it's going to be the rapture, or the Antichrist is about to rise, the false beast is here, you know, Obama is the Antichrist, Hillary Clinton is the false prophet. You hear all kinds of funny things. The Bible says the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. How many people know that this is true? We're living in this time. You don't even need to know the Bible. Just put on the television and listen to the news. You will see all of these things. Wars. You will see rumors of wars. You will see nation rising against nation. Yemen, Syria, Saudi Arabia. You know, it's all over. You know, here in Africa, you say the Somalia, all kinds of things. Even here in Nigeria, God forbid, there is a threat. But because, and that's what the kernel of this message, bringing peace to the nations. But because there is a man-child on the earth, we can't stop it all, but we can limit the extent to which these things are taking place, so that it does not destroy the church and affect our assignment and our destiny to close the age. Verse 8, all these, what all? The rumors, the rumor wars, the rumors of wars, the nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom, the famines, the pestilences, the earthquakes in diverse places, all these, take it all together, are the beginning of sorrows. I would say beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. Who is you? The church. It's us. Who is who is you? He was talking to Peter, James, and John. They had already dead. I mean, he knew that by this time they would be dead and be in heaven with him. You know, their own time was AD 70 when the Romans came to destroy Jerusalem. But he was not telling them what's going to happen way ahead of time. You know, this third day, over 2,000 years later. And he said, they shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. We have not entered verse 9 yet. As we speak today, we are in transit between verse 8 and 9. The beginning of sorrows has already started. In fact, it started from, you know, World War I, World War II, you know, the reformation of, rather the re-establishment of the nation of Israel. And over these years, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the first decade of this century, 2000, now we're now in the second decade of this century, closing it. We're now in 2018. So we are no longer at the beginning of sorrows. The sorrows have now been established. We're inside that now, and we're about to transit from verse 8 into verse 9. How do we know that that is so? Very easy. We are not, as at today, we're not hated of all nations. The church is not hated of all nations as at this afternoon. Nobody's, you know, all nations don't hate us. Oh, they persecute us, they, to some degree. Not, in fact, in many places they don't even persecute us. In some places we're openly persecuted, in other places we're not. So this hasn't happened yet. Now, the question is, what will trigger this? What is going to make us suddenly, as it were, hated of all nations? Suddenly, why will all nations just hate the church? I'm going to give you the answer in a minute. But before I give you the answer, let me read ahead a little bit. He said, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another. He's talking about people in the church. And shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endure unto the end, he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be what? Saved. Now watch this. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a witness unto what? But I thought all these nations hated us. How will the people who hate us allow us to preach the gospel to all nations? Remember the verse said, and we shall be hated of all nations. And yet, in spite of that hatred that all the nations have against us, somehow we're going to be able to subdue those nations and preach the gospel unto all the nations, and then he now says the end shall come. See, earlier on he said the rumors and words that the end is not yet. He said, but when this has happened, when this happens, and the gospel of the kingdom is preached to all nations, this is what we now call the rapture. This is what, when the man-child will be caught up. Now, not everybody, the woman and the remnant of seed will still be here, according to Revelation chapter 12 and 13 and so on. But the man-child will be caught up. Now, these verses from verse 9 through 13 and 14 is what is immediately ahead of us now. 14 is the rapture. But the years that are ahead of us now are described in these verses. Now, let me now answer the question. I've got it written here. As as the Lord gave it to me. The manifestation of the sons of God will bring peace to the nations by the removal of wicked rulers like Belteshazzar, I spoke about earlier on this morning, like Haman, and the installation of benevolent and godly leaders like Cyrus, like Darius, like Ahasuerus, godly ones like David, like Esther, and like Mordecai. This action of the church, of the man-child church, the glorious church, because they will bring judgment to the leaders of the nations, is going to trigger a universal persecution of the church. But we will overcome this universal persecution like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego overcame the fiery furnace of Nebuchadnezzar, and that overcoming will open the door to the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom to all nations. Remember, when Nebuchadnezzar set up his idol, he asked Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to bow to that idol. They stood with God and refused to bow. They were thrown inside the fire. God protected them supernaturally in that fire. They came out, there was no smell of fire on their clothes. And Nebuchadnezzar, the most powerful king at that time in his empire on the earth, said, there is no other God like the God of Shadrach, of Meshach, and Abednego. Nobody in my empire should say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And what did he do? He opened the door. They were free to worship their God. They were free to serve their God anywhere in the empire. So will it be today. But there will be an initial conflict. It is that conflict we must prepare for now. Hence this message. I've entitled Bringing Peace to the Nations, but before you can have a true lasting peace, many times there will initially be a conflict. I will explain. There are two or three outstanding scriptures where this prophetic picture is painted. I will first of all start with Psalm 110. Psalm 110. Hello, somebody. This is a prophetic message. It's a prophetic utterance that was given to David, but the time of its fulfillment is now, at the end of the age. A psalm of David. Just three people. A psalm of David. The Lord said to my Lord. Just free of charge on the side. This shows that there's more than one person in the Godhead. Hello? Literally, Jehovah said to Adonai. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. Again, just for those who don't have understanding of, and so many Christians don't have understanding of these prophetic scriptures. So in the light we give you now, you can now see light. This was the statement that the Father made to the Son on Sunday, Easter Sunday. Jesus was freshly raised from the dead. Come out of hell, defeated principalities and powers, he led captivity captive, went to heaven, used his blood to sprinkle the mercy seat in heaven to pay for all of our sins. When all that ceremony was over, God said to the Lord Jesus Christ, now, sit at my... He was always at his right hand before.
But because of what he had done now, he says, sit at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. Jesus is not going to get up until we make the enemies the footstool. Because the footstool is in the body, not in the head. So it's the church that is going to put the enemies under our feet. And incidentally, the last enemy is going to be death. We're going to conquer and overcome death. So the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. And so the next verse says, the Lord, he's speaking, the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of what? Zion. Zion is symbolic of the perfect church. See, in prophetic symbolism, you know, you these things ordinarily just refer to physically. Zion is just a place inside Jerusalem. It's a castle, you know, where David built his house. You know, the stronghold of Zion. He built his house. He put the tents there. You know, so Zion is a geographical place, but spiritually, symbolically, Zion refers to the perfect church. Zion is inside Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is inside Israel. Israel refers to the whole church. Jerusalem refers to the church that's baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking tongues, have the light of revelation, are symbolized by the candlestick. Zion is symbolic of the church that moves out of Jerusalem and goes deeper into God, into perfection. And so in Psalm 50 verse 2, the Bible says, out of Zion the perfection of beauty God hath shined. So he now says, the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength. Where? Out of Zion rule thou. Where? Now, this is a very important scripture, because you see, most people always think that, you know, a lot of traditional Christians think, oh, this is going to happen in the millennium. There are no enemies in the millennium. The devil has already been locked up in the millennium. It's now. We're going to rule in the midst of these nations that hate us. That's what he's talking about. He says, thy people, hello, shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. If you look at some other times, it says, you know, your young men are going to spring. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about Zion City Fellowship. You know, it's the young people are going to be, they're going to volunteer themselves. Let's look at that in New International or Amplified. I think it's very nice. Okay, your troops, it says in New International, will be willing in the day of your battle. Oh, okay, aha. Arrayed in holy majesty from the womb of the dawn, you will receive the dew of your youth. And the other ones, I think the Amplified says, yes. It says here, your people will offer themselves willingly in the day of your power, in the beauty of holiness. To you will spring forth your young men who are as the dew. This move is going to be characterized significantly by the young people. When we say young now, we're talking about 30 years old and under. It doesn't mean elderly people like us will not be there. We'll be like Joshua and Caleb. But the major, a significant number, let me see, use that word, will be young people. Now, let's go on. In the next verse, he says, the Lord has sworn. Why would God say this? And will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. God here is establishing the eternal operation of the Melchizedek priesthood, of which Jesus is the forerunner. Jesus is the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, and you and I are subordinate priests under him in this order of Melchizedek. This order of Melchizedek has a very important function, this priesthood, because it is a double kind of priesthood. It is a priesthood and it's a royal priesthood. In other words, they are priests and they are kings simultaneously. Now let me explain this before I read the next verse and you'll be able to appreciate it. It is this: they minister to God in the place of prayer as priests, interceding and praying for men. Then they now receive words from God, and with those words they now come to the earth and reign as kings. They now declare the word of the Lord that they have received in the place of prayer to enforce the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And that is why they are, that's why the word Melchizedek is God's king of righteousness. So it is a priestly and kingly ministry simultaneously. It is this Melchizedek priesthood that can do the next verse. Let us read. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings. See why they hate us? In the day of his wrath. He shall judge. I didn't hear you. Let's go back to verse 5. Read it with me. Don't be afraid to read the Bible. He said, the Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. The word heathen just means nations. He shall fill the places with dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over a few countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way, and therefore shall he lift up his head. That's symbolic of drinking the life of God. He will lift up his head. This church, this Zion church, will release a rod of strength. And that rod of strength will clash with the kings of the nations. Just like Nebuchadnezzar came against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, like Belteshazzar came against the desecrated the furniture and the utensils of the temple. So many of these kings will try and come against the church, but in doing so, they will be writing their own demise. Just like Haman, these things are going to now replay back in the earth. It is this activity, this removal, what I read at first that the Lord gave me, the removal of wicked kings and their replacement by benevolent and godly kings, that will cause the nations of the earth for us to be hated of all the nations, because we're going to go everywhere. There will be no nation exempt. I hope the leaders of the nations are listening. There will be no nation that will be exempt. It's going to be all nations. In some nations, you already have godly, sometimes benevolent, who are not against God. And when it comes like that, there'll be some people, maybe a few people here and there, that may come against it, you know, and they will be removed, and God will replace them with godly people or benevolent people. It's not everybody's going to be a Christian. No. Not everybody. Some will be later. Not all of them will become Christians overnight. But they can be benevolent. They can be cooperative. Like Cyrus. Like Darius. Even Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus was not the nicest guy on the earth. He was not. This, the king in Persia, the husband of Esther, he was not the nicest. He was not the nicest man on the earth. Church history tells us, you won't read this in your Bible, he sent for Vashti. Vashti was the first wife, and asked her to come and show her beauty before all his kings and all that. We are told, I don't know, because this is church history, this is not Bible, it's church history, that thing was like when a girl comes out, in a beauty parade, and she, like a catwalk, and she parade, he just wanted to show all the other guys how fine his wife was, and that none of their wives was as fine as his own. It was just an ego trip. We are told that one of the reasons why Vashti refused. Of course, she was having a feast in, you know, her own house, which she shouldn't have been doing. You know, was that she did. She felt she was being degraded by being displayed before all his guests, and she was not going to do that. I'll tell you another thing about her, Sarius. I'm painting a picture. You know, when Esther became queen and Haman plotted the destruction of the Jews, Ahasuerus didn't really know what was going on, because, you know, such things he doesn't even bother about. Haman was in charge of all the princes and all of that. You know, what happened between Haman and Mordecai was private between them. What Haman decided to do was private to Haman. He didn't even tell the king. He had such power that he could have killed Mordecai alone. The Ahasuerus would not even have heard about it. That's the kind of power he had. But God, knowing his pride, knowing the kind of man he was, he decided it in himself. Oh my God, turn to your neighbor, say, God rules in the affairs of men. You don't even know when your thoughts are being controlled by God without violating your own free will. It was his own decision. He said, it is not good to kill him alone. I'm going to kill the entire tribe, all the Hebrews. It was a decision he made in his heart, and God said, very good. You enter my trap. So you know what he did? Instead of, it could be so easy, would you just have taken Mordecai and killed him? Pride will blind you. You know what he did? He went to consult with demonic powers. He cast lots. In the Yoruba, somebody will say, Olowoshe. In our, you know, people, of course, I don't recommend this. You know, they go to a witch doctor. The witch doctor will, you know, and try and look for a time that is good for whatever it is they want to do. So that's what he did. He cast lots. And then he chose a particular day that he felt, yes, the gods will protect me on that day, and we will kill all these people. And then sent a decree out. Then he went to Ahasuerus. Instead of telling Ahasuerus the whole truth, all he just told Ahasuerus is that there are some very troublesome people inside the empire. They don't like to pay tax. You know, they're very proud. They say they serve any other god. And I just want to take care of them so that we can get money from the people who killed them, and it will, you know, reimburse the, it will be sent to the treasury of the king. Ahasuerus didn't even investigate. I'm painting a picture. Ahasuerus said, fine, go ahead, do it. So the decree was written, stamped with the authority of the king, sent all over the empire. That was when Mordecai heard. When Mordecai heard, we know the story, Mordecai cried, prayed, you know, then he went to Esther. Then Esther said something to show you the character of this man. Mordecai said, you've been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. This is the time you have to open your mouth. I may be talking to some Mordecais now. I may be talking to some Esthers now. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. So he said, go and tell the king what is happening. For you know whether you have been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. Esther didn't want to go. Esther said, you don't know this man. I'm paraphrasing. You don't know him. If you go and he has not called for you, he will kill you. Can you imagine such a man who would kill his own wife simply because she came without permission? I'm painting a picture. Ahasuerus was not an angel. But with prayer, you can change a wicked man to become a benevolent man. That's what happened to Ahasuerus. So, Mordecai comes back and says, don't think you are going to be saved, though.
You better do something about this. So she understood. She said, look, okay, you pray, I will pray, we'll fast, you know, and when it's 3 days, I will go in to meet him. If I perish, I perish. There is nobody who has ever said, if I perish, I perish, that has perished. You will never perish. But you must not be afraid to perish. This is what is ahead of the church. So, you find Esther goes before Ahasuerus. This same Ahasuerus. This same, he has the same person. He stretches forth the scepter. Says, come. I haven't seen you for a long time. Because he's the one who calls for his wives. You know, after 30 days, 30 days, for 1 month, he hasn't called for her. You know, say, come, Esther, come. Ah, good to see you. This is the Olubi's translation. You know, good to see you. You're looking good, baby. You know, what do you want? Anything you want up to the half of my kingdom. Just tell me. What happened? God had moved on Ahasuerus through the prayers of Mordecai and Esther. Give the Lord a clap offering. This same Ahasuerus. Esther tells him, I want you to do a banquet. Call Haman. I'm going to fast track. Esther exposes Haman and his plot to kill the Jews to this same Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus is angry with Haman and hangs Haman on the very gallows he had prepared for Mordecai. But the story doesn't end there. Then he now says, let the Jews serve their God. He now makes he said, the decree I've made cannot be changed. Because in the law of the Medes and the Persians, they can't change. But I'm going to give another decree. He said, you and Esther, write what you like. Write what you like. And give the Jews the authority to defend themselves when those people try and come and kill them. I gave them the resources. He took the house of Haman and gave it to Mordecai. Then Mordecai, after Esther told him Mordecai was his uncle, he now put Mordecai in the position of Haman. It was now Mordecai that ruled the empire. But I'm not done yet. Without firing a shot. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Without firing a shot. So shall it be in our day. Amen. We're not going to go to countries and start shooting kings. We don't do that. We just pray. Ask Abacha. We just pray. God will shuffle them like you shuffle cards. Rule in the midst of thine enemies. The rod of thy strength out of Zion. Psalm 105. Am I helping anybody here? This is about Joseph, but there is a prophetic application to us today. The Bible tells us, we know Joseph's story, and I will not go back into all of that. You know, how he interpreted Pharaoh's dream. Pharaoh now exalted him to become the leader, the ruler in Egypt. Pharaoh was only higher than him in the throne. But he said his word, he says, at thy word, my people shall be ruled. Again, Pharaoh, there were two pharaohs. There was the Pharaoh of Moses, who was wicked. And there was the Pharaoh of Joseph, who was benevolent. This Pharaoh was not like his
great-grandson or whatever, you know, I don't know how many generations, you know, that killed the children and all that. This was the Pharaoh at the time of Joseph. I find this particular Pharaoh had a heart for God. You know how I know? Joseph tells him the interpretation of the dream and says it's going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. Neither had come to pass. The years of plenty hadn't come. The years of famine hadn't come. How did Pharaoh know it was true? So much so that he gave his kingdom to a stranger. He had the witness in his spirit. Once he heard, he said, "Ah, this is God. This is God. This is God." And instantly, he gave Joseph the authority and everything. Now, I don't want to get off my message. Look at verse 20. 105. And the king sent. I didn't hear you. And loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. Watch this. He made him lord of his house and ruler over all his substance. Now, this verse 22 is the one that applies to us prophetically today. To do what? Bind his princes. What? And teach his senators. That's why they will hate us. Nobody wants to be bound. The end time church, this man child church, will have Josephs. And these bad governments and bad leaders, he will bind the princes at his pleasure. And he will teach his senators wisdom. And they won't like it. Then we see the next scripture. Psalm 2. That's why you need revelation and anointing. See, it's truth, but it's scattered all over. But what I'm doing now is, by the help of the Holy Spirit, I'm giving you the picture of what God is doing. Why do the heathen rage? The word heathen again is nations. And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth. The what? The what? See? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against what? The Lord and his you and I. Let us do what? Break their what? Bands asunder. This Joseph that has been binding us at his pleasure, we're going to break his bands. Or they will try to. And cast away, I didn't hear you, their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. And the Lord shall have them in what? Derision. He shall speak to them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Watch the next statement. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. This church, this man child, this perfect, glorious church that sits in Zion, God will say, "You kings, you want to fight them? I've set my king upon my holy hill in Zion. Here they are now the rulers of the earth, not you." Next verse. "I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee." Remember what Pastor Andrew and Dimladi were singing? You know, Jesus was the firstborn to ever be born again, but your number is there. So this statement is not only for Jesus, also for you. This day, this third day, this day, turn to your neighbor, say, "This day, oh, this third day, God has begotten me into perfection." Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. I want to tell you one thing. It's scripture you should know. Everything that applies to Jesus applies to you, because you're a joint heir with him. Very important truth. There's a scripture, it's in Psalm 40. He says, in the volume of the book it is written of me, so of you. Do you know that everything about your life is written in the volume of the book? The Bible says in Revelation chapter 22. In the volume of the book, just as it's written of Jesus, also written of you. That's why you need to read your Bible every day, to find out your prophetic destiny and walk in it. I'm revealing some of it to you this afternoon. Are you listening to me? This day have I begotten thee. Now he's not talking to us, the sons. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen or the nations for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Backtrack to Matthew 24. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all nations for a witness. Because he's going to give it to us. It's our inheritance. Now he tells us that this inheritance is not going to be automatic. It's going to be conflict. Verse 9. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Because they're not going to submit willingly. So you will break them with the rod of iron. Just like Moses broke Pharaoh. Pharaoh didn't want to let the people go. But God, with the rod of Moses, broke the most stubborn, proud, and powerful ruler of the earth at that time. When he finished with him, this was in the film, Ten Commandments, not in the Bible, but it's also in the Bible. It's just that it's not there. He said, he's God, is God. And he finished with him. And they'll be like that today too. You see, our God is a good God. He's a very nice God. He's a very reasonable person. You know, and I'm saying this for the benefit of everybody who can hear. Listen to me. God comes to Pharaoh. You know, sends Moses to him. God didn't come with fight. He didn't come with fight. He just came to prove that I'm God. He went with his rod and Aaron, put the rod down. The rod became a snake. This guy, the magicians put their own down too. That's why the devil too can do miracles. You know, and the snake of Moses ate the snake of the other two, and the thing became back, and he said, Israel is my firstborn. It up front. Israel is my firstborn. Release him. If you don't release him, I will kill your firstborn. I wish Pharaoh had listened. There would have been no problem. Everybody would have left. Everybody would have been happy. But Pharaoh, stubborn, proud, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. I will not let the people go. And incidentally, see how nice God is. He didn't kill the firstborn the first day. He just did a small thing, just changed the water to blood, just to show you a sample. You would have thought that would frighten the man. No? Then he made frogs come, lice, and all kinds of plagues. After a while, his magicians could not even duplicate what they were doing. Then there was light in Goshen. There was darkness all over Egypt. That's any sensible person. By that time, you should know that this person I'm dealing with is... But that's what pride does to your heart. Until finally, God did what he threatened to do. It was Papa Ralph who told us something. God is as faithful to his threats as he is to his promises. Write it down. God is as faithful to his threats as he is to his promises. If God said it, trust me, he would do it. If you don't fulfill the condition, or if you fulfill the condition, even if it's negative. I said, I will kill. And he killed his firstborn. With haste, they thrust Israel out. Released them.
But he didn't need to get to that. I'm preaching this because Bible said what Israel ought to do. You know, we don't need to, you know, once you see God, just humble yourself and you'll be okay. Hello, somebody. We have no record that Ahasuerus became a Christian. We have no record that Cyrus became a Jew, a worshiper of Jehovah. There's no record of it. We have no record. These are benevolent kings. We have the Pharaoh of Joseph. The Pharaoh that made Joseph ruler of Egypt. There is no record that he became a worshiper of Jehovah. But he allowed the will of God to be done. That's the kind of leaders we want. The wicked ones that say they will meet God there. So all you just have to do as Christians is that we continue to pray. Like Mordecai and like Esther. They shall break them. Verse 9. Thou shalt break them. You didn't get it. Turn to your neighbor, say, thou, you. Say, thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. And thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessels. These are just metaphors, symbolisms to show how God will break the nations. I preached this message many years ago. Breaking of the nations. The time has come. So he now gives a very nice instruction. And I'm echoing it. Be wise. Everybody shout now. You didn't say it properly. Be wise. Not tomorrow. Not last year. When should you be wise? It's a present truth. Present prophetic truth. That's why I'm preaching it. Be wise when? Therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. You know why? God is love. He doesn't want to break them. He doesn't want to dash them as pieces of a fruit. He doesn't. He just wants them to change. He just wants them to change. God is not even saying be born again. He's just saying, let my people go. Whatever they want to do, let them do it. Nebuchadnezzar learned it the hard way. You got to let them, if they want to preach, let them preach. If they want to anything they want, nobody should say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob. The God of the Lord Jesus Christ. The God of Paul. The God of Peter. The God of Olubi. The God of Sarah. The same God today, yesterday, today, and forever. He has never changed. He hasn't changed. Be wise now. Therefore, O ye kings, is a present word. This is a rhema word for today. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Next verse. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son. The word kiss there doesn't mean literally kiss. It just means, you know, treat him with reverence, lest he be angry and you perish from the way. Folks, when you read your Bible, read it with the right spirit. What is God trying to do? He doesn't want them to perish. That's it. That's God, the Spirit of God. He said, kiss the Son. So you don't want to get him angry, because I don't want you to perish. This is not a negative message. As I was bringing peace to the nations. I'm going to close in a few minutes. You know, he doesn't want to turn to, he doesn't want them to perish. But he's saying the way you're not going to perish is to kiss the Son. This man child, this glorious church, you don't want to fight them. You don't want to do that. So kiss the Son, lest he be angry. And you perish from the way when his wrath, I didn't hear you, is kindled but a little. Then God is good. I love this God. See what he has done again. Give me a way to escape. Blessed. In other words, we can be friends. put your trust in me, and you become my Mordecai and my Esther. I won't have to change you. I won't have to change you. God is not interested in killing people, and you know, no. But if they are standing in the way of the purpose. I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. This is not only true of Nigeria, it's true universally. Some of the problems the nations are facing are caused by just a handful of people. The people that are causing problems in Nigeria, they're not more than 500. It's the truth. The people that are troubling America, you know, those people, they're just a few people. Just a few people. And you hold millions to ransom. God said no more. I gotta close. So this is what is going to happen. And this is why the nations will hate us when these things start taking place. The fallout is this. Three scriptures and I'm done. Isaiah 25. Scripture we know, but in the light of this prophetic teaching, I want to bring it out. And in this mountain, don't your neighbor say it's not a literal mountain. It's Zion. It's the church. Isaiah 2. The mountain of the Lord's house shall be exalted above all hills. It's talking about the church. I just gave you that interpretation so you understand. Shall the Lord of hosts in this mountain, in this Zion church, in this man-child church, shall the Lord of hosts make unto some people a feast of what? Fat things. A feast of what? Wines upon the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. God is so good. He wants the nations to come and partake of his feast. He doesn't want to kill them. He doesn't want to kill their leaders. He just wants them to change. And I just got a tweet from heaven. And I say this to every leader who may be listening to this message. If God could change Nebuchadnezzar, he can change you. By the end of Nebuchadnezzar's life, he made the equivalent of a sinner's prayer. I believe Nebuchadnezzar went to heaven later on. I don't know that, you know. But you know what he said? He said, now I know. It's a confession. That the Most High rules. Watch his statement. It's a statement of repentance and acknowledgement. What's a sinner's prayer? I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it was at that time Jesus hadn't come and all of that. He was acknowledging the God of Israel. He didn't do it before. All those years, he never did it. But when God broke him and broke his pride, he said, now I know. He didn't know before. That the Most High, watch this, rules in the affairs of men. And those that walk in pride, talking about himself. He knew himself. He is able to abase. But he wasn't done yet. Give me the end. There's that, the end of it. Good. Good. All whose words are truth and his ways are judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol the God of heaven. If you're listening to this, if God could help Nebuchadnezzar, in spite of his great faults, and have mercy on him, God can have mercy on you. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Back to Isaiah 25. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over. As we speak, there is a covering of darkness that is blinding the eyes of the nation. But this man child, this glorious church, will prepare a feast of far things, the kind of message I'm preaching now. And not only that, God, by supernatural spiritual power, will break the veil so that the eyes of the nations will be open. Then shall come to pass that which is written, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all nations for a witness. A witness that is blind is not a witness. It is when the veil has been removed, they will see. This must take place to fulfill Matthew 24:14. Haggai. No. Just before we go there. Verse 9, Isaiah 25. And it shall be said, in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him. He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. The whole creation, the distress of nations that's going on now, is groaning and travailing. What are they doing? Well, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. This will be fulfilled. Now, Haggai chapter 2. And verse 7-9. I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will do what? Fill this house. Which house? The church. The man-child. The glorious church. You will fill it with what? Glory. The silver is mine. The gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. And the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former. This is my punchline. And in this place, which place? The church, will I give peace. Peace to the nations. The manifestation of the sons of God by the removal of wicked leaders will bring peace to many of the nations of the earth. And it is in that atmosphere of peace that the gospel of the kingdom will be preached unto all nations. And it's only after that has been done that the end, the rapture, will come. This is what God's plan is now. He has the good of the nations in his heart. And the only way he can remove this gross darkness, this terrible distress of nations that is currently, threatening to even destroy the planet, is for this manifestation to come. Last scripture, Isaiah 33. This truth is scattered all over. This takes us back to Joseph. Verses 5 and 6. The Lord is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. He hath filled what? Not the whole church, Zion. With judgment and what? And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. The wisdom of God that comes through Zion will bring stability, and the shaking will stop, and peace will come to the nations. It's only just going to be for a short while. They're going to taste of the powers of the age to come through the church. The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all these nations for a witness. When that is done, God will rest his case. He who believes, let him believe. He who doesn't believe, let him not believe. Then the man-child will go. Those who believe and flow into the man-child will go with the man-child. Those who don't will remain on the earth. He that letteth will let him be taken out of the way. And then the spirit of the Antichrist has already been working, will now have full reign on the earth. Not because of God's fault, because God gave them a way out. is given a way of escape. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Let us pray. Singing, the Holy Spirit told me, very simple, Lord, here I am, send me. That's your part. God, as I speak, is recruiting people all over the church. Thy people shall be volunteers in the day of thy power. Volunteer. Volunteer to become a part of this great army that God is presently raising now, that's going to bring peace to the nations in the way I have described it.
Lord, we thank you for the word that has come forth. And thank you for the season that we are in. Lord, we come to say, old men of good conscience, begin to come in your twos into the ark in the name of the Lord Jesus. For this is the time that was spoken by the prophet of Joel of old. Holy Spirit, thank you, Lord, and also for the nations. We open the door for a new leadership of men of good conscience to take the reins of our fears. Thank you, I declared yesterday that the King is here. The King is in Zion. Of the world to the praise of God's glory in Jesus' name.
Sins, especially the sin of complacency. I cling with the blood of Jesus from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, we have life. Oh, Father, here I am. Send me. Send me. Send me. I commit myself to your purpose for the church that has been revealed in this hour. For a man-child church that will arise with your glory, that will shake the nations, removing wicked, ungodly leaders and replacing them with benevolent and godly leaders that will allow your kingdom to come and your will to be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Oh God, here I am. Send me. Like Esther of old, like Ruth of old, I commit myself, and I love not my life unto the death. I will take on, as you have taught me, the whole armor of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, so that I will stand in this day of your appearing, and I will escape all of these things that are about to unfold upon the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Nekatoloma toloma shalakara. Liprikitofrides. Zefrikatolomatolo. Lambrakatosko frides. Loprikatolomash. Lambrakatolomatolomangaras. Lambrakatolo. Tolomatolomatolo. Shakatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolomatolom
Zephrika kakama tokrama tolo lambratos lombraka matolo manka tolo matofrenes tolo mangara dofres tolo fris tolo mangara cheque tu fris lambrides lambrideles jiki tu fris tolo mangaras tofrides longeres
bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. The Lord God gives you peace. The Lord God gives you peace. God will make you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to will be successful. You'll be at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection and the fullness of Christ. The Lord imparts unto you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, amen. I release healing power into your body. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Driving out every sickness and disease. From the cellular nuclear level upward. In Jesus' name. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Touch your neighbor and say, you are the rod of strength out of Zion. You will rule in the midst of your enemies.